Hey, listeners, this is the last week to register for Secret Church 24 on Friday, April 19th. Together, we're going to walk verse by verse of the story of redemption in the book of Ruth, pray for the persecuted church in North Korea. You can register today by visiting radical.net/Ruth.
If you have a Bible, and I hope you do, the beauty of the gospel is that God has saved us. He's freed us from the power and the penalty of sin. He's put us in Christ, who's now our life. So we've gathered together to surrender our lives and say, our lives are yours and we're your servants. It's not radical version of Christianity. This is biblical Christianity. It's what it means to be a follower of Christ. We don't call the shots. He calls the shots.
The Radical Together Podcast. We're teaching from David Platt. Welcome back to another episode of the Radical Together Podcast. If you're new to the podcast, you can listen to all the previous episodes at radical.net or by subscribing on iTunes. Today's message is the second in a two-part message from Psalm 67 entitled, The Ultimate Disconnect.
Now, that one truth leads to this one danger. So one danger that we all need to be aware of. Anyone, everyone who has received the blessing of God, anyone, everyone who has received grace from God, which is all of us in this room, even more so, anyone, everyone who has been saved by his power, who has been delivered from sin and its penalty, on top of material blessing from God, which is all of us in this room, living in the top percent of the wealthiest people on the planet. We are some of the wealthiest people to ever walk planet Earth. I'm not saying that to make us feel guilty. I'm saying that to realize abundant grace has been given us. We are of all people in this room most blessed. But here's the danger. You might write it down. We are prone to disconnect God's blessing in our lives from God's purpose for our lives. We are prone to disconnect God's blessing in our lives from God's purpose for our lives. We're prone, you and I are prone to do this. Our hearts resonate with the idea of grace, and for good reason. We relish books and songs and sermons that exalt grace, but oftentimes it is a grace that centers on us. And while the wonder of grace is worthy of our attention, if it is disconnected from its intended purpose, the sad result is a self-centered Christianity that misses the entire point. If you were to ask the average Christian sitting in the seat of a church on a Sunday morning like this one, what is the message of Christianity? You would likely hear, well, something along the lines of God loves me, or God loves me enough to send his son Jesus to die for me. Jesus loves me. And obviously, that's not untrue, but that is incomplete. It's not the whole story. It's putting a period where there should be a pause. Because if that's all that Christianity is, then the object of Christianity, do a little English class with me, God loves the object of Christianity, it's me. And everything is about me, and everything is made to center on me. So when I make my plans for my life and my career, it's what's best for me. Right? I choose the house I live in, the car I drive, the clothes I wear, the way I live, whatever works best for me. I want church to work best for me. I want my life to work best for me. And this is the version of Christianity that largely prevails in our culture today. And it is woefully incomplete. Because the message of Christianity is not God loves me, put a period on it, go home. The message of Christianity is God loves me so that his glory and his grace and his love and his might and his majesty and his mercy might be made known among all the peoples of the earth. That's biblical, complete Christianity. He's the end in all of this. Remember Ezekiel, he doesn't love us for our sake. Ultimately, he loves us for his sake among the nations. You think, David, are you saying that God has an ulterior motive in blessing us? It's not what I'm saying, it's what the Bible's saying. Yes. Yes, who in this room is so arrogant to think that you and I, or I, are the center of God's universe? You're not the center of God's universe. I'm not the center of God's universe. God is the center of his universe. Everything revolves around him. He lives to exalt himself. And if that rubs us wrong, it was God exalting himself, God self-centered. If that rubs you wrong, well then just ask the follow-up question, who else would you have him exalt? You? Me? No, at whatever point God were to exalt someone or something else, he'd no longer be the God who's worthy of all exaltation, and he is. That's what it means for him to be God. The beauty of the gospel is that God has chosen to glorify himself by saving sinners. God has chosen, how has God chosen to glorify himself? By saving power, by sending his son as a substitute sacrifice for our sins in our place. He's chosen to glorify himself by doling out extravagant blessing and grace for the purpose of his exaltation. So this is what made Psalm 67 such a life-altering text in my life. Because for the first time, I realized that the blessing of God is not intended to center on me. Instead, the blessing of God is intended to spread through me. And there is a monumental difference between the two. Blessing of God, not intended to center on me, it's intended to spread through me. God, the realization that God has given me the gospel for a reason, for a purpose. And that purpose is so that all peoples might know that gospel. That God has given me not just the gospel, but even more than that, the physical, all the physical blessings he's given me in this world, and my health, my family, the freedom he's given me, the education he's given me, the wealth of opportunities God has given me. He's given all these things that I have. Everything I've got, every evidence of his grace in my life is for a purpose. And that purpose is not so that I can be more comfortable, not so that I can have more luxuries, not so that I can coast out my Christian life in comfort till I get to heaven. That is not biblical Christianity. God has given me wealth for the sake of his worship. God has given me so much in this world for the sake of his name in this world. And that changes everything. It changes everything in our lives and our families. It changes everything in the church when we realize that all of God's blessings ultimately center on him, not us. You see how huge this is? And the reason I'm calling this a danger is because that's exactly what it is. We're prone to disconnect God's blessing in our lives from God's purpose for our lives, and we are all in danger of doing it. We're all in danger of doing it. There are over 6,000 of these people groups in the world. We're talking about comprising over 2 billion people in the world. 2 billion people who've never even heard of the saving power of God. Never even heard it. It's not that they heard the good news of what Christ has done, God's grace in Christ, and they've rejected it. It's that they haven't even heard it. They haven't heard it. How is that possible? It's not the primary reason they haven't heard. Because we who have heard the gospel have disconnected God's blessing from God's purpose. Because we who have the gospel for so long, so easily are content to sit back with the gospel in the confines of comfortable churches where we spend the majority of our time and our money that God has graciously given us on ourselves. Never realizing that there was a greater purpose intended in this. Never considering that many, maybe most of us in a land of gospel saturation like we're living in right now, God may be leading to go to the peoples of the earth for the praise of his name. That seems so far-fetched to us. Many of us don't even consider it until we realize it's the purpose of our salvation. God has saved us for the sake of his praise among the peoples of the world. And there's peoples, there's nations, there's ethnic groups, there's thousands of them comprising billions of people who don't know his ways and haven't heard about his saving power. Turns life in a totally different trajectory when you realize this. Transforms everything. When you realize, so fathers, when you realize who God is, see it in the psalm, see him in this psalm. God, he's the gracious Savior. Oh, we have good news to tell the peoples of the world. We have really good news. We don't go to the peoples of the world with a message of condemnation. We go with a message of celebration. God loves you. God's merciful. The God who created the world is gracious towards you. He sent his son to save you from your sin. We say to people living in spiritual darkness, God shines light on you. Huh. Realize who God is. Gracious and loving. He desires the salvation of the people. At the same time, God is the gracious Savior and is the righteous judge. Look at verse 4 here in Psalm 67. He's the righteous judge. He judges the peoples with equity. Now this is sobering news for all who don't trust in Christ. That he will judge you and your sin. But this is news we must make known, right? I mean, put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in the shoes of the Turks. We've been praying for them the last month. Almost all of them in Turkey, unreached with the gospel. They haven't heard it. So what if you were them? What if I were them? And this gospel's true. What if God is indeed the judge of all people everywhere? What if in our sin, you and I stand condemned before God? Wouldn't we want somebody to come and tell us how we can be saved? Wouldn't we want somebody to leave behind the comforts of Birmingham? Take the risk of moving their family to Turkey. In order to learn our language so they could share this gospel with us. We want somebody doing whatever it takes to tell us how the judge of all the earth has made a way for us to be saved from his judgment in eternity. You can put yourself in your shoes. Yes, we want everybody. We want everybody, not just a select few in the church. We want everybody coming after us, praying for us, pleading for us, working together for us, giving sacrificially for us, some moving to us, all making major sacrifices so that we can know this. And he's the gracious Savior and the righteous judge, and he's the sovereign king. Verse 4, he guides the nations upon earth. He's the king over all. Oh, this is why, church, we fast and we pray fervently. This is why we give sacrificially. This is why we go. We go willingly because Jesus is the king of the nations, and he doesn't just deserve the praise of 5,000 or so people groups. He deserves the praise of all 11,000 people groups on the planet. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. Do we believe this? Do we realize who God is? The gracious Savior of the peoples, the righteous judge of the peoples, the sovereign king over the peoples. Do we see him? Do we see? Are we just playing game here? Or do we see who God is?
David will be back in just a minute, but I want to take a short break and ask you to consider giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. This special offering, taken once a year, provides nearly 60% of the International Mission Board's annual income. And when you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, 100% of your gifts go to supporting Southern Baptist missionaries all over the world. For more information, visit imb.org/offering. I also want to tell you about a Bible study resource from Lifeway and David Platt based on his latest book, Counterculture. In the Counterculture Bible Study, we see biblical foundations to following Jesus even when our faith contradicts our culture. To find out more about the Counterculture Bible Study, go to lifeway.com/counterculture. Now here's David with the rest of today's message.
And we realize why God has blessed us. You think about what this means? God blesses his people for the sake of his praise among all peoples. What does that mean, for the sake of his praise among all peoples? Well, look at it in this text. This means God aims to be known among all peoples. May God be gracious to us, bless us, make his face shine upon us, so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation known among the nations. In order for the peoples to praise God, they must know God. And we trust, oh, we trust, that when they know him for who he is, they will praise him for what he's worth. So God aims to be known among all the peoples, but follow this. That's not all. As if intellectual knowledge is the end game here that God is after. There's more in this psalm because God not only aims to be known by all peoples, he aims to be enjoyed by all peoples. It's the beauty of verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Enjoyed. So if I could just pause for a moment and acknowledge the way God has used John Piper, at first indirectly and now more directly, to open my eyes to the beauty of this psalm. And this truth in particular, his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, is one of the most influential books I have read outside of the Bible. And in it, he makes the statement, the goal of missions is the gladness of the peoples in the greatness of God. So see this, we don't just want the peoples of the world to know who God is, we want them to enjoy who God is. That's what other psalms talk about. Psalm 69:32, when the humble see God, they're glad. Psalm 70, verse 4, may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Psalm 97, verse 1, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. I love that. Let coastlands be glad. This is what happens, isn't it? When the grace and the blessing of God, the light of God's face shines upon someone, they rejoice. They're glad in the greatness of God. God blesses his people so that he might be enjoyed by all peoples. And just a side note here, but extremely significant one. You may be tempted, hearing this truth from Scripture, to start thinking, okay, wait a minute, if God blesses me for the sake of his praise among all the peoples, then does that mean God is just using me? I'm just a pawn? And maybe God doesn't really, really love me? And the answer to that question is a definite no. Well, it's a yes in the sense that God is using you for his purpose, but no in the sense that God's purpose for you is good. God's purpose for you is an expression of his love for you. This is so key. We've got to get this. We've got to feel this because we get this backwards. We think that if God loves us, then that means he must center on us. So it's all about us. But what if God's love for us is most realized when we connect it with its purpose in others' lives? What if our joy in God will increase not when we hoard God's blessings to ourselves, but when we spread God's blessings among others? I know few joys greater than the joy of leading people to Jesus. Does that make sense? Like, greater than all the comforts of this world is the satisfaction of seeing more and more and more men and women glad in God. This is worth living for. God has designed our hearts to be glad, not in hoarding grace, but in giving grace. Yeah, we're tempted to miss this altogether. It's Christians in this culture. You and I find ourselves, we're swimming in an ocean of deceit where we're surrounded by lies that say, get, and you'll be happy. But it's not true. God loves you more than that. And in his love, God says, give your life away that you and others might be glad in him. Others might be glad, you might be glad in him. He aims to be enjoyed by all peoples. And that does not contradict with his aim to be enjoyed by you. He aims to be known, enjoyed, feared by all peoples. God shall bless us, verse 7, let all the angels of the earth fear him. This is why God blesses. So, if this is true, and we are prone to this, then what do we do with our lives? So, this psalm is not just for information. Oh, that was a nice sermon. That's why I've used this term, turning the trajectory of my life. This psalm, this truth changes everything. In what ways? Well, at the very least, in these three ways. One, this prayer must be constant on our lips. This prayer must be constant on our lips. This is a prayer that we must pray for our lives and our families and this church. Every night when I'm tucking my kids into bed, this is the prayer I'm praying over them. I'm laying down little Isaiah in the bed, he's looking up to me with his big blue eyes, and I'm saying, may God be gracious to you, buddy. May he bless you. May his face shine upon you, that his ways may be known on earth and his salvation among all nations. So I pray for my kids, for my family, for my life. God, grant me grace, blessing, favor. Use me, my family, my kids, for your name's sake, among the nations. I pray this for this church. I pray this for you. I pray this for these missionaries that we're sending out. I pray this for missionaries we have sent out. I pray this for church planting teams we've sent out, other churches here in Birmingham. May this prayer be constant on our lips. Second, this purpose must captivate our lives. This purpose must captivate our lives. Church at Brook Hills, the time is short. And the need is urgent. We don't have time to play games with grace. We don't have time to waste another day sitting back with an idea of grace centering on us. God's given us so much gospel, our lives, our resources. He's given us everything we have for a purpose, to make his praise known among all peoples. So let's connect God's blessing in our lives with God's purpose for our lives. And then follow this. Oh, I love this. This is the way it works both ways here. Because when this purpose captivates our lives, when it's driving our lives, then the blessing of God flows in our lives. Now see it. I want to be careful here. What I don't mean by that, because that's not what the Bible means by that, is if we give our lives to praying, giving, going sacrificially as God leads to the peoples of the world, that everything will be perfect for us and easy for us. The blessing of God does not mean more comfort and ease in this world. The blessing of God may actually mean the loss of these things and the gain of something greater. So follow this. God wants to be praised, known, enjoyed, feared among the nations. He will bless those who are aligned with what he wants. This is why Jesus gives us not just a great commission in which he commands us to go make disciples, but he gives it with a promise that says, I'll be with you every step of the way. I'll give you everything you need to accomplish. So do you... Do we, as a church, do your life, we want to experience the fullness of everything God offers, then let's give ourselves to the purpose God has ordained. Let's pray and give and go, and as we do, let's expect the blessing of God to follow the purpose of God. Piper says, if God blesses his people for the sake of the nations, then God is most likely to bless us when we are planning and longing and praying to bless the nations. If God wants his goods to get to the nations, then he'll fill the truck that's driving toward the nations. He will bless the church that's pouring itself out for unreached peoples of the world. And this blessing is not payment for a service rendered. It's power and joy for a mission to accomplish. When we move toward the unreached peoples, we're not earning God's blessing. We're leaping into the river of God's blessing that is already flowing to the nations. I love that. The river of God's blessing is flowing to the nations. So church at Brook Hills, let's jump in and enjoy. Let's enjoy and your life and your family. This purpose must captivate our lives. God's glory among the nations of those, God's purpose for his praise among the peoples is not a sideshow in the church. It's the central mission of the church. We've all been commissioned together, blessed together to do whatever it takes to give our lives to the spread of his praise among the peoples of the world. It's what it means to be the church. His purpose must captivate our lives. And then we'll close with this. This promise must compel risk-taking, life-giving, death-defying confidence in our Lord. This promise must compel risk-taking, life-giving, death-defying confidence in our Lord. Risk-taking, life-giving, death-defying confidence. So this psalm is a prayer, it's a purpose, but it's also a promise. You see where the beauty of the psalm ends, verse 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. That's confidence and promise. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. God will bless us. God will cause the ends of the earth to fear him. He's going to bless his people to accomplish his purpose.
That'll do it for today's episode. Thank you for joining us. For other free resources from David Platt, including those in other languages, visit radical.net. And if you'd like more information on the International Mission Board, visit imb.org. And as always, we hope you'll join us next time for more teaching from David, right here on the Radical Together podcast.